Yeah, we're talking about a very famous Gemara. It's a Gemara in Yevamos, that's Samach Beis. It's a Gemara which is going to frame, on some level, hopefully a little bit of what this time period is about, and more than that, a little bit of, I think, what is an opportunity we have not really had yet this year for us to be able to accomplish in a real, in a more, I guess, powerful way than we have. Many of us know that the Torah in Parshas Emor lists the mitzvah, or discusses the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a machogah that must be shown if it's still d'oraisa nowadays. But it's machogah, it is a mitzvah d'oraisa to count from the second day of Pesach until Shavuos, to count that time period of the Omer. The Ramban writes very famously that Sfiras HaOmer should really be viewed as a form of Chol HaMoed. That Sfiras HaOmer is really the link in between Pesach and Shavuos, and that one shouldn't perceive it as if there's Pesach, there's Shavuos, but there's a link called Sfiras HaOmer. It's a Chol HaMoed type. It's a Chol HaMoed type experience. And in many ways, Sfiras HaOmer, at its core, was supposed to be a time, it was dedicated to be a time, lichora, of simcha. It was a time of excitement. A person was coming out of Pesach, Manche Rusenu, but also a time period of Simchas Yantif, and we were gearing up towards Matan Torah. There's no reason why it shouldn't have been a happy time period. No reason why it shouldn't have been happy. We quoted on the first day of Pesach, based on a comment of the Zohar, that maybe there was already at this stage a little bit of a Yom HaDin, Tahara, Tumah element, but fundamentally Sfiras HaOmer should have been a very happy time. But everything changed for a variety of reasons, but the most famous is the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samech Beis, which we will speak about again for just a moment. Amru Shneimasar Elef Zugim Talmidim Hayol Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students, 24,000 students, and Migvas Ad Antiparis, V'kula Meisu B'Perek Echad. And everyone died in one time period. There was a major Magefa which took place, and Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, they died. Why did they die? So the Gemara says, Mipneshlo nagu kavod zelazeh. They did not have a sufficient amount of respect one for the other. Olam shame machabar Rabbi Akiva, etzu Rabbi Tzinish Bedaro. And then Rabbi Akiva was able to rebuild everything. Rabbi Akiva had new Talmidim. He was able to rebuild. But Sfiras HaOmer is a time period where he lost that which he built. Rabbi Akiva got involved later in life. We know from the Gemaras and Ksubis. Rabbi Akiva got involved. You know, he finally built a whole world of thousands and thousands of Talmidim. He lost everything. When did they die? So Tanakula Mesmi Pesach Adateras. They died in between Pesach and Shavuos. Some Rishonim in the Chachmei Provence, I think the Baal HaMaor, the Meiri, they have what impacts our practice a bit more, not just me Pesach Adateras, but Pesach until Lag BaOmer time was when people happened to have passed away. There are a lot of questions that Mefarshim ask on this Gemara, the Baalei Machshava in particular. One question is, if they were lo nagu kavod zeh bazeh, is there a particular reason why they died specifically in this time period? Why couldn't they die in a different time period? Why'd they have to die dafka mi Pesach HaRatzeres? What was it? Pesach HaRatzeres that caused them to die dafka then? But that's one shaila people ask. But there's a second shaila, which I think a second question here in the Gemara, which I think is a very simple one and a very intriguing one. Ibnei shalo nagu kavod zeh bazeh. So can we define for a minute, what exactly was this form of zilzul? What exactly were they unable to do? Where did it come from? What exactly is going on? They quote the Tshuva Tashbeitz, Helik Aleph, Sim Kuf Ayin Ches. The Tashbeitz points out in Tshuvas, we don't know a lot about what exactly happened, this lo nagu kavod zeh bazeh. We don't know. It's not so clear to us what exactly was missing, what exactly was lacking. It's not entirely clear what was going on. We're going to speak about two different mahalchim that can each, I think, frame things a little bit. As from this year on Friday, we'll be speaking about it. So Rav Aaron Kuller has a mahalach. It's a mission to be Aaron Chela Gimel. Rav Aaron Kuller has the following approach. He says like this: what does it mean that they should lo nagu kavod zeh bazeh? What does it mean that they were not mechabed each other? He says, you know, they're isurei d'oraisa about the way that you interact with other people. There's an isur of onas dvarim. They're isurim about having to be respectful towards other people. Says Rav Aaron Kuller, I can't believe that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were violating isurei d'oraisa. I don't buy it. I don't buy that that's what's happening. What's happening was rather as follows. They were undoubtedly people who kept halacha. They behaved properly one to the other. But there was a certain chisaron in the way in which they were giving towards others. If it's a din in Shulchan Aruch, I'll keep the din in Shulchan Aruch, but I'm not really going to go above and beyond to provide, to support, to enable others to be as successful as possible. There's a certain block, a certain limitation in their capacity to really give. Why did that chisarum, which wasn't an iser doraisa, why did that generate a misa? It's not a chiv misa, it's not even an iser doraisa. Why exactly is there a chiv misa? What's going on? So Ron Kuller says as follows, Rabbi Akiva is the yisod of Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Akiva is the person who is the basis. He's the foundation for Torah Shebaal Peh. It's going to come through him. It's going to come through him. And in order to be the basis of Torah Shebaal Peh, in order to be that link in the chain of our Mesorah, we are very unforgiving if there's a chisaron in a certain kind of shleimus. There are memchas kinyane Torah. There are memchas attributes a person has to have, character traits, in order to be successful in the world of Torah. And we can't tolerate even something which is not, strictly speaking, Aser and Shulchan Aruch, but there's a small chisaron in the way in which they're giving. These Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, they couldn't be that next link. You couldn't be, it was impossible. We were judging them at such a high standard because it couldn't be. It couldn't be. So says Rav Aaron Kotler. In a certain sense, the Gemara is like a little bit, it's an interesting phenomenon. We often think of these as being two different realms. There's a realm of Kabbalah Satorah. There's a realm of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And sometimes if you even think about how you view yourself, or how you view others, there's like the Torah guy, and there's like the Chesed guy. You know, sometimes it can impact even like a variety of choices that people make. Like there's a Chesed person, like he's into that, and the Torah maybe a little bit less. And there's like the Torah guy, and the Torah guy, he's like really the Torah, and like maybe he's not the biggest Chesed person in the world. But what the Gemara is clarifying for us is that the two have to go hand in hand. And that a person who's lo nagu kavod zebazeh, so that person is a chisaron also in his Torah. And a person who learns Torah but is not mechab is a chisaron in his Torah. The two very much go hand in hand. And that's why, because of their link in the chain, their link in the Mesorah, we had to close off. We had to, they were nifter as a result. It's a wonderful edition of the Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov is a compilation of all the Agadotas. It was a standard edition of the Ein Yaakov. But the publishing house, Hamaor, put out a different edition of Ein Yaakov where they quote different commentaries on Agadata. So they pointed out that the Malbim in his commentary on Shas, I'm going to say, and maybe I'm embarrassed, and the Malbim wrote a Perush of Chumash, and the Malbim wrote a Sefer, beginning of our Chayim, but I did not know that the Malbim even had a Perush in Shas. Okay, what can you do? And he had the following suggestion, where was Noveya from? Where did it come from? Where did it come from? So the Malbim says the following. Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were really into Rabbi Akiva. They were really into him. They were like big believers in his status and in the godless of their Rebbe. But what happens when like they were so into the godless of their Rebbe and they treated themselves with such a degree of anava, such a degree of humility, that what ended up happening was they viewed themselves, anyone that wasn't Rabbi Akiva was essentially a nothing. Anyone that wasn't Rabbi Akiva was not worthy of kavod, was not worthy of respect. So you have a Rabbi Akiva who's getting so much, who's their Rebbe, but when they were looking at themselves, looking at others, they were bichlal, not machshav of them at all. It was this like distorted form of humility where it wasn't just a humility, it was a humility which undermined their deserving of any sense of kavod at all. In that sense, it stemmed from a good place, from a kavod of their Rebbe, but what it ultimately impacted was a lack of belief in the general worthiness of every person around them to also get kavod. Not that we have to earn kavod, but they didn't look around and they said, you guys are all nothing. They were unable to find how all people are entitled to a basic respect, how all people are entitled to a certain kind of kavod, because they were so into their Rebbe and so much not into others, where it took a particular toll in the way that they looked at it. Again, it stemmed from this amazing chashivas, this kavod they had for Rabbi Akiva, but it trickled down to a lack of respect for anyone that didn't earn it like Rabbi Akiva earned it. And that created a particular challenge. I think, I don't know if anyone else did, but I find the imagery relatively powerful. Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, has been and hopefully will continue to be in a better spot as far as the world of COVID. Akadekach, that many yeshivas, I'm sure if you've seen articles, if you, depending on where you go online, or even in our base medrash, that that the mechitzos, that the capsules that have been up, we are now zocha with, I believe, 100% vaccination rate in our yeshiva. We are zocha to be able to be in a yeshiva where the capsules don't have to be up, the one around me right now notwithstanding. That there's a there is this ability to now have those barriers, that are down. Sfiras HaOmer is a time period, on the one hand, of preparing and being mekabel Torah. It's a time period for many of us. It is the last time, again, for some of us, that we're going to have this opportunity to be singularly focused on Torah the way that we are right now, to be singularly focused. We'll be able to continue to learn in life in many ways. But for many of us, as far as our time in yeshiva, by next year already, we may be in a university. We may be spread out a little bit. It's this moment when we can be singularly focused, which is an amazing schus to prepare for the Kabbalah HaTorah, the Kabbalah HaTorah of Shavuos. And maybe now there are more opportunities that we can take advantage of. There are more shiurim to go to, chavrusas we could have. It's a little bit smoother. We can benefit more from the kol Torah of a base medrash, looking around and seeing more people there. If you're a kol Torah kind of a person, I personally prefer learning in a room quietly. But if you are, like most people, into the idea of a kol Torah, it's a very powerful thing. It's a very, very powerful thing. And it's a moving thing, people to look around. And I hope prior to walking in today, at some point in morning Seder, if it's not today, tomorrow, because the whole yeshiva hasn't really started yet, but Sunday, Monday, you look around and you say, this is awesome. You look around at the mincha, the marav, you say, this is something which is powerful. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful schus for us to be able to feel. It is also, in Sfiras HaOmer, a time to rectify what happened in the time period of Rabbi Akiva, of a lo nagu kavod zeh bazeh. In a world where we've been more confined in many ways, in a world we've had less interaction, so now we're blessed with different kinds and more interactions. It was a gradual process for us, but now the walls are down. You know, it's fallen, and in that sense, or it was taken down respectfully. Now that has happened, so it's a wonderful opportunity for us to make sure that we are nohagim kavod zeh bazeh, that we are doing our best to respect others. One, for Varon Kalar and that mahalach, because hopefully we're able to perceive ourselves on some level as building towards being worthy of being a link in the Mesorah, and therefore a certain kind of shleimus becomes critical. But also to understand that our fire and our quest for Torah can come with respecting in a very deep and real way those that are around us. To be nohe kavod is something which I think is immensely, immensely powerful. I hope I'm remembering this correctly, that Rabbi Willig once quoted from Rav Machlis, he's Mechutanim with Rabbi Machlis, that Rav Machlis said that he thinks that that's part of the Pshat, why in Sfiras HaOmer we have a Yom HaShoah, a Yom HaAtzma'ut, and a Yom Yerushalayim. Those are ridiculously divisive days on the Jewish calendar on some level. There are people that think it's a day when you shouldn't be saying Tachanun, people think it's a day when you should Dafka be saying Tachanun, even if there's a bris milah there, in order to make a statement about how, you know, things like that. It's a day in which, it's time periods in which people find it amazingly, are very heated about it on any side. It's a time period in which some people are totally apathetic about it on the other hand. It's a time period where there are days which are immensely powerful. The day which in this yeshiva we observe and observe seriously, but it's a time when in Klal Yisrael as a whole, so not necessarily the same way, not necessarily the same way. Part of it, Rabbi Machlis suggested, I believe, was it's a question about whether the message of Rabbi Akiva of Lo Nagu Kavod Zeh Bazeh is a message which we actually got. Can you go through time periods and be part of Klal Yisrael when there are people doing different things than you, and can you be okay with that? Is that okay? Can you respect those who observe a day or don't observe a day, you know, in the breath of Klal Yisrael, of being Noe Kavod in respectful ways for what people do. So Be'ezra Hashem, it can be a zman of wonderful learning, it can be a zman of tremendous growth, and it can be a zman in which we're able to sort of prepare and be Noe Kavod to all those in the Beis Medrash, in a way which is proper and in a way which is nice, not to make sure that we are enhancing and bringing up the quality so that our Kabbalah HaTorah can be great. Me'ein, you know, Ishachad, prior to the actual Kabbalah HaTorah of an integrated world and integrated experience, Be'ezras Hashem will be zocha for that. Let's speak about what we're doing.